New meeting.
How'd you do that?
Black magic.
As Chair Bartel's assignment, I get to start the meeting and call the Fleet Management Review Committee to order on March 11th at 5 o'clock. We're going to start today's business with the election of the committee chair. Any discussion? Shall I start the discussion? I would recommend that we elect Legislator Joe Maloney as chair of the Fleet Management Review Committee. Not only is he thorough as a legislator in general, he's passionate, especially on this issue. I think he'll help us come up with a great report. And also, I'd like to nominate Laura Petit, former legislator, as deputy chair.
I'll
second both of those.
Beautiful. Any discussion? Additional nominations? Any additional nominations? And for a third time, additional nominations? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's all yours, Joe.
Thank you.
Would you like the chair here?
No,
I have a table.
I'll stay here. So, this is something I think we need to be doing more often. I think we ought to do at least 5 or 6 of these type of deeper dives, 3 to 6 month special committees to look into different things. Some of them would be investigative, some of them would be policy driven. And so it's important for me and Laura, who's worked on this with me for 6-7 months, and we've talked about this for years, for some real things to come out of this, because I think this is, like I said, something we need to do a lot more often. And there's a lot of money on the line here with regards to our vehicles. I don't think we've taken a look for a while. As far as I know, we have 2 fleet managers in the county. That's something I've begun to reach out to other department heads to find out if they have. I know right now we have our fleet manager in the DPW. But we also have a fleet manager at the Sheriff's Department, which is really a CO that has been kind of given a title. I think he basically works at a title, and I think that's one of the many things we should probably discuss. I don't think it's crazy for the sheriff to have a fleet manager. The person should probably be properly titled that and paid that way. So that's something, one of the many things I think we need to get to. Ultimately, I think if nothing else comes out of this, and I hope a lot does, I hope a lot of different recommendations as far as take-home vehicles and other things come out of this committee, but if nothing else comes out of it, an actual workable policy that we codify as a legislature and make sure is followed. I have pulled a couple from other counties that I found. Putnam and Columbia both have one. I pulled the one that we kind of had. I think it was Tracy's, the Charlie Busick policy. So I'll be sending everybody a lot of different things to look at. I think that's probably where we should start, getting a bunch of data, getting some responses from the fleet managers that we know of, getting an understanding of what they do so far and what their kind of, what their policy or procedures are at this point, even though I think we've seen over the last year or two there isn't really anything being followed at this point, to the point where we had that multi-million dollar resolution with no description. It was just 50 or 60 vehicles. That it was an up or down vote, and that was just, to me, not acceptable, and not the way it was even done pre-charter. We had a far more diligent, transparent process that the legislature was quite involved with pre-charter, and that was one of the things, I think, after the charter was initiated that we never really got quite around to and recalibrated under this new form of government. So with that, I would like to bounce around and kind of hear what everybody else thinks and what anybody else would hope to get out of this, and maybe any suggestions for things we'll pull or ask for. I mean, there's a lot of different GPS. You know, I think we also, maybe Amanda, you might be able to tell us, we lease as well as buy. The DA, somebody from the DA's office told me today that they have half leased vehicles, half bought vehicles, and they have no idea why, and they were kind of in agreement that we should probably have a plan. I mean, when you're leasing or buying, there's got to be, you know, a monetary advantage one way or another and an overall plan, and I'm not sure how we've decided inside even the same department to lease a vehicle for this person and then an identical title buy a vehicle for them. So that's another thing to kind of...
Under the county executive's purview, we don't lease vehicles.
Okay. So that's something we'll talk about. But we have recently leased vehicles, it sounds like, in the county. Maybe not since Jen's been here. Maybe they're a year old.
Not for... What I'm saying is other independent electeds.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the distinction.
Okay.
Eric wants it.
Yeah, I had a question for Amanda, too. I know that in the policy it says that we were going to install software.
About the Green Fleet
policy? Yeah, I'm talking about the Green Fleet policy, yes. It says that we were supposed to install software that would help... I can't even read my own writing. You'll have to excuse me. anyway, we were supposed to install... software in the cars that we'd be able to keep track of them. Has that happened?
Would you like me to...
As far as you'll know more. As far as I know, it's happening as we speak.
Yeah.
We're being paid.
That's okay. It's a
yeah.
It's yeah. I'm just curious. Yeah, I mean, usually they disclose that when they are.
Okay.
Oh, I never do.
You never do?
No, okay. But I am.
It's a public meeting, so...
Yeah. I think you're actually taping it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What was the question?
About GPS. Where are we at with GPS?
What I would encourage you to do is that there's actually how we keep track of fuel and vehicles is included in part of the front end section of the annual Green Fleet report.
Yep.
We do that every year. We talk about those systems.
And we recycled the report just came out.
It did.
Just
so
today.
It's
awesome.
It's
yeah.
It always comes out in March. It's a lot of data collection, a lot of data workup. But it does talk about SAMSARA, which is some of the technology that has been deployed on most county vehicles at this point.
See, the only report that I had access to until Michael handed me this right now was the 2022
the prior
report.
Years.
And so I wasn't
sure.
even aware that the 23 report was
yeah.
actually
and I can actually also make a note to provide kind of a status update on where that deployment is.
Great.
If that would be helpful to the committee.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And anything... You fire it over to me or Michael, and then everybody will get it immediately. Is the goal, before Chris goes, is the goal to have every vehicle in the county have GPS in it?
So, again, I believe that they have been deployed on all the vehicles that the fleet manager has direct oversight of. So that would not include the sheriff's vehicles.
What about the DA... There's no vehicles in the comms. Does the clerk have any vehicles?
Yes.
So the clerk, the DA, would they have?
I can double check that.
So you don't feel like you have jurisdiction to put GPS in
the sheriff's vehicles?
No.
I'm not.
Yeah, no.
But the DA or the clerk? I'm saying
I
anybody.
Think that they were deployed there, but again, let me. If I'm gonna, I will. Provide by email a status update.
Okay, because that could be something that goes into our policy
absolutely.
As well, a mandate that obviously besides undercover vehicles in the sheriff's office, I think every vehicle should probably have GPS in it. Chris?
I was just going to ask if this report comes out every March because of the Charlie Busey policy. Is that in the policy to come out every March?
No, so this report is tied to the Green Fleet policy local law. So that was first enacted in 2015. It has a reporting requirement in it, and it was has been updated several times. And it includes a lot of information per the law that was passed on the fleet. So it is distinct from that.
Great, thank you.
Kathy.
So I would suggest that the committee look at the just released Green Fleet policy for 2023 as a starting point. because many of the questions that are, have been asked, I think, are answered by this document.
Laura?
What I would like to take a look at is, let's see, on policies. We have a policy on take home, but do we have a policy on who can take it home? And also how job related it is. We have 14 at the DA's office, so they're not using their personal vehicles to drive to court. There, we have 14 vehicles, you know, one for each person in the DA's office. That's a question. Also, policy on reporting fringe benefit, record keeping. I have a friend who worked at Marist. Their record keeping included a book that they would provide at the beginning of each year. They'd write down the date, their start and end mileage, and where their destination. And this way, if they were taking it home, that take-home mileage and the fuel is considered a fringe benefit. And then, we would go back to who. Who should we be providing these additional fringe benefits to? And we should take that into consideration with salary studies as well. You know, maybe we don't have to pay people as much if they're getting a, you know, $30,000 a year benefit of taking home a vehicle. And I think now that the deputy executive has mentioned the green fleet policy, we probably should take a deeper look at that to see what we can incorporate into, you know, from these questions into taking home of a vehicle. And then going into page 5 with the breakdown, I don't know if I can tie that into the Appendix C, which is a complete fleet inventory. I guess I could. It looks like that's broken out too. But what is our replacement policy? So I'd like to include our replacement policy as well. You know, what age? The Sheriff's Department, they said within 2 years of using cars 24/7, they need to replace them. Bridges has a vehicle that I thought was closer to 1990, but it could have been pushed into the 2000s. So a very old vehicle. And what are the replacement policies?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things. There is, years ago, Burt had sent something out, I think the comptroller had done something on the tax implications of, or the, it being a form of payment, mm-hmm. having a take-home vehicle. I think employees were told that they're supposed to be filing that.
So I can tell you all DPW employees who have take-home vehicles, they track that daily along on their time card. And that is tracked as a benefit. There, and I will defer to the.
And I'm sorry, that mileage is tracked daily. You said.
No, their use of the vehicle
on
that day.
On a personal level.
If they are to use it personally,
yeah.
That is tracked on a daily level.
And then that goes on the W-2 as taxable
yes.
income.
So you're
yeah.
saying on back and forth to work, but they use it. They can use their take-home vehicles beyond that? They're going to pick up their kid from
no.
childcare? Oh, this is just back and forth from work.
Back and forth to work is tracked as a benefit.
Do we know if in any of the union contracts that are there any titles that are it's built into the contract that certain titles get a take-home vehicle?
That would be in the union contract, which is online. I'm not aware, but there's also, we can double check that. I'm not aware of that being in the contract. However, what's considered past practice is also, can be benefits that are then considered negotiable by the union. So even if it is not in the contract explicitly, when something is a past practice, it is can be grievable if that were to be taken away.
Charles and Eric.
Oh, hey, just wanted to add, it's something really minimal. It's like $3
a
day.
$3.
Yeah. It's like $3 a day that they add onto your W-2 when you take them
over.
God, that's it.
Thanks. I just wanted to thank Michael for including the information from Putnam County on in our list of materials that we received, and thanks to Joe as well. I thought some of the things that Putnam County had listed as their policies were kind of intriguing, and one thing that stood out to me was, and this is kind of following up on what you were saying just a minute ago, Putnam County, there's only 3 county employees that receive a county vehicle as a condition of employment, and those 3 people would be the sheriff, the commissioner of the highway department commissioner, and the commissioner of emergency services. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, in Ulster County, do we have similar policies for those positions, or, I mean, how many people are given a county vehicle as a condition of employment?
So those are not union titles. So
that would be a charter thing.
It would be either charter or sometimes there's a separate contract. So that's
right.
Something we have to.
This was
at.
Taken directly from the information on Putnam County that we received.
Can we make a note of that? That's the kind of stuff I think we got to kind of figure out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kevin mentioned to me earlier today when we were speaking about wanting to hearing comparisons when it helps a salary management get a salary raise. We hear Dutchess County a lot. Let's pull Dutchess County's. They are bigger than us, but they're very similar to us in a lot of ways, but even bigger than us, with a bigger budget and more people and almost as much ground to cover.
With less vehicles.
With mm-hmm. I believe they have less vehicles by far, especially with regards to take home. Let's take a look at. Let's take a look at Greene County, and let's take a look at Dutchess County first, and if we could have some charts similar to here, but a little more expansive, and let's run them side by side, Dutchess, Ulster, and Greene, and try to take a dive more, even further than DPW, break it down almost by position, if we can, inside each department, project manager, maintenance specialist in the on the highway side compared to, you know, or at least break it down to highway and buildings and grounds, or and that with same thing with the jail. We are not obviously not dealing with any kind of undercover thing. We don't care. Not that we don't care, but we're just not getting into that. It's just not safe. But I think inside, we can still get inside the Sheriff's Department and compare to Dutchess County as well. I know there's COs that have take-home vehicles. I talked to a CO a couple of months ago and asked, well, why does this? Well, he became captain. I said, well, why does a captain that still works in the jail every day, why would that person need a vehicle? He says, well, that's a fringe benefit of becoming captain. So I think there is a little bit of that we're going to be dealing with here. There are probably individuals that should be getting mileage for when they have to go somewhere, and they should just drive back and forth to work. And I hope to make recommendations. Maybe we'll have, I'm talking to outgoing Chair Bartels, she thought 50 or 60 vehicles should probably be put up for sale. So we'll see where we end up. Chris?
I was just looking up the Greene County Jail, and I know their women are at our jail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so Sullivan County might be a better comparison, even though I heard their jail is crumbling, but at least they have a comparable sheriff department. We could do 4 counties.
Let's start with Dutchess, and if you think a different northern county would be more comparable.
You want it to be
We're still going to have to take that into consideration with Greene County. They're much smaller than us. But mm-hmm. And if they don't have a lot of, you know, I doubt we're going to find a lot of COs in other counties with take-home vehicles.
Gotcha.
Hey, Kath, go ahead.
I wonder if any of those other counties have green fleet policies. And I'm a little troubled not to be talking about laying out all the possible benefits of vehicles going home with people, and comparing that with some of the concerns that you have. Some of the things that have been offered over time include that if we have a greener fleet than what these individuals have, then we actually are advancing the county's environmental goals by having the person drive a pure electric or a hybrid vehicle. In addition, some of the individuals may have vehicles that are not reliable. So if we look at reliability and the person actually getting to work, I think that going through and looking at this in terms of how did we get to where we are may help us understand whether we should be cutting back by 50 vehicles or 5. I am particularly concerned for my district, which is extremely remote, where people have a great deal of interest in having a police-identified vehicle, or even a vehicle that's not a police-identified vehicle, but that is known to be driven by somebody on law enforcement. That is something that is considered a big benefit in my district, and people have asked me to represent that.
So we have 7 people on the committee, and every legislator is welcome to come and give opinions. I think we all are snowflakes and think differently, and that's why we're going to end up voting on every recommendation, and that'll be taken into consideration. You know, whether we're worrying about people, the condition of their car, and so we give them a vehicle, that may be something we all agree. If a group of people in DPW don't have good running cars, we'll buy them vehicles. If we decide that we want everyone driving an electric vehicle, we can give every person in the county an electric vehicle. Those are all things that we'll vote on. Any recommendation that comes out of this committee will not, I certainly as chair will not be making any public comments on behalf of this committee. Going to be very careful with letterhead if we do any press releases. And it'll be a vote with everybody at the executive's office, the comptroller's office. Everybody's welcome to give their opinion. The 7 of us will eventually vote, and that's what the recommendations will come from. But all that will be taken into consideration.
Could I follow up? It sounds to me like you're saying that it's not the purpose of this committee to do a balanced and fair comparison of the current situation with any recommendations that you're bringing forward, but that you already have a goal, and that if the committee is, what are you soliciting now? Ideas from people outside the committee in order to make sure that the issue is examined fully and fairly? That doesn't sound to me like the type of process that we generally have on a committee like this.
Could you say that again? I'm not even sure what you're saying.
So the purpose of a county committee like this, Fleet Management Review, to me seems to be to gather a full and fair understanding of the existing situation, to look at the benefits and the downsides of pursuing a different policy or different management, and to help the rest of the legislature understand what all of the considerations are. If you start from the perspective that the fleet is too large and it needs to be downsized and go directly to that and just have votes on whether or not to do that, we would be voting without a very clear understanding of the policies that were in place previously, their benefits, how they work, and any downsides to following those types of policies. It also seems like, you know, we're having suggestions for including things like the discussions of the understandings of union members that may go into their contracts, things like that. I feel like I would like to have brought to this committee so I understand them better. So I'm just trying to get a sense of your process and what you think that the goal of the committee is, especially in terms of getting that information in front of all of us before you start on the policy making or revising mission.
Before I answer, go ahead, Kev, you had your hand up.
You know, I was listening to what you said earlier about gathering information and 7 of us vote. I didn't hear anything about you know, ramrodding the policy of downsizing. To me, you know, there's no magic number if we're going to cut 5 vehicles, cut 50, you know, cut none or add. You know, we may find at the end that, you know, we need more vehicles. I doubt that's going to happen, but, you know, that's a good possibility. And there are some people out there that really need vehicles, you know, that they got to have them. It makes sense to have them. But, you know, one of the, you know, the conditions doesn't mean that you drive a clunker and you get a vehicle because you drive a clunker. You know, that's not something that should be even considered when you're giving somebody a $50,000-$60,000 ride. You know, I just, like you said, and Kathy wants to make sure this happens. We want a fair process. We want to make sure that everything's examined. We're all going to have input, or, you know, if you bring some idea, Joe, that we don't like you said, there's seven of us here. We're going to have a vote, and, you know, and let's move on with that.
Following up on what everyone has just said, I think it's also important that we hear from the various department heads and commissioners and, you know, get their input as to, you know, their idea of the right size.
Yes.
Fleet that they have.
I think by next month, I'd like to have both fleet managers that we know of in to talk. It's going to be much longer. The next couple of meetings, I'm sure, will be much longer. I'm going to try to schedule meetings when there's not another committee meeting afterwards. I hope the dates, I'll try to check the dates with everybody. If we end up here on a Friday, 4 o'clock, you know, it is what it is. But I think it's important not to have a meeting after our meeting so we can really dive in. We only have 6 months. If we want to do a second or even third meeting in a month, once we get midway through, I think that might happen. As far as being, you know, making up our minds beforehand, I just thought it was important. I think anything that I've had sent out so far is just data. You know, I'm not putting opinions into emails, and I trust the strength of the brains on this committee to stay with what they really believe and not be pushed around by anyone else on the committee, the chair or whoever else. I did think it was important to state that early on that we do that there are legislators, including the outgoing chair Bartels, that feel as though we really did need a policy, a stricter policy as far as certainly procurement and how we purchase vehicles and who has take-home vehicles. But there's differences of opinions. I agreed with Tracy on probably 75% of what we talked about with vehicles. I actually think I like the idea of sheriff, the members of the road patrol taking their vehicles home and having that vehicle sit there, marked vehicle sit there, also being able to respond on their way to work. Some of them may live 45 minutes away from where they're starting their day at whichever substation they're at, or the jail, if they're a sheriff working over at DSS. But Tracy didn't. She did not think patrol vehicles should be taken home. But so we're going to have differences of opinions, and we're going to collect data. I definitely want to have a lot of different department heads. I wouldn't even mind at times talking directly to some of the individuals that are driving these vehicles. I have talked to a lot of them in DPW, and a lot of them have different ideas and different opinions on how what makes sense. And some of them have even said, you know, have made strong cases for their vehicles. Others have said that they probably could just drive to work. I believe there's one individual that drives a specific truck at a large truck. Might be the tire, the truck that goes around and fixes blowouts. Now he has a take-home vehicle, I believe. So when if there's a vehicle in the middle of the night that a plow vehicle in the middle of the night that blows out a tire, and they need that truck, that individual now takes his take-home truck, drives it to the quarry, picks up the actual vehicle that he uses during his job, and then goes out. You know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk to that individual. But ultimately, I think looking at some of the GPS and how often these vehicles are used, I mean, if it's 3 or 4 times a year, we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's democracy. We'll leave it up to the 7 members of this committee. I doubt it'll be unanimous. Go ahead, Aaron Servant.
Thanks, Joe. Just a question for the executive's office in regards to going back to the issue with the installation of GPS for the vehicles. Do we have a general idea? Is there kind of a flat cost involved with installation throughout the fleet of that in terms of how much it costs per vehicle to install this, or does it vary based on
So I think that's, it's kind of two questions. I can't tell you what it is per flat vehicle, but they, I believe almost all the fleet vehicles have it under the executive's purview, I think, with the exception of the sheriff. So I think there's a different software that they use.
They all currently have it, or it's in the process of it being installed.
I'll take that back to the fleet manager because I don't want to respond to that. But I think
most vehicles now come with it.
I think it's everything.
Okay. Well, they're installing, and are we? I think are we? Are we just buying the?
We're talking about Samsara, or
yeah, and then are we installing ourselves? Yeah, at the garage. So we're just buying. So there's a. Is there a software cost? I mean, it's not going to be.
There is a cost.
Does it go by
vehicle?
Because my question on this just is in regards to, you know, looking at how many, you know, how much of the fleet is near retirement age, or looking, you know, going to be coming out of service soon. If there's a, you know, the cost benefit analysis of. If a vehicle has not been retrofitted with the, you know, with the Samsara technology,
that's not going to be the deciding factor.
What's not going to be the deciding?
The Samsara and the vehicle. If I may, just to back up, you know, there's a software platform
mm-hmm.
called AssetWorks. It's in the Green Fleet report.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a portion of AssetWorks that tracks the asset, right? So it's anything that, you know, is in the fleet on the road, along with a more than 1,000 other types of equipment that are assets of the county that are also included in that database. There's a separate portion of that that's used for any time anything comes into the shop. It is tracked, coded, any parts that are bought for it, any work that is done. So your cost of maintenance can be continually tracked for a department, for a vehicle, etc. Those costs of maintenance are one of the main factors that is used by the fleet manager to evaluate when it is time to replace that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, that's part of the calculus that goes into that one's coming off the road, that one's staying in the fleet for another year.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a couple questions, Amanda. Who's our fleet manager?
The DPW Deputy Commissioner for Fleet is Kim Millian. M-I-L-L-I-A-N.
And are farm vehicles in our fleet? Tractors or anything?
We do have tractors. Mm-hmm. They are not used for farming. They are used for
landscaping.
Mm-hmm. They're used for road maintenance, site maintenance, construction, things like that.
Thank you. And Joe, I'm just thinking about the report that we're all coming out with, and I think that Legislator Nolan, you had a great point about the Green Fleet comparing against other counties. I think there should be a line that says, is there a Green Fleet?
Mm.
And I would love to hear more about the pre-charter system, the pros and cons. So just some thoughts on sections of the report is that comparison of other counties, pre-charter system, department heads, union representation, what their views are, procurement, maybe a section on the Green Fleet because it's so unique, potential abuses of the system, best practices, and recommendations. But we can fill in gaps.
Let's look around to the surrounding counties and see who has a Green Fleet policy and send a specific email with a couple if they have green. And let's actually leaf through and see how similar they are. The other thing you mentioned was
pre-charter.
I have that. I'll get that to Michael, and then we'll get it out to everybody in another email. And it was I'll get you the creation of the fleet manager. It has a very specific job description, about what we wanted out of our fleet manager, what the position was created for. And I will get you, everybody, some copies, I'll email some resolutions that went out during the budget process for vehicle purchases,
cool.
Pre-charter. And it was far different than what we see now while we're purchasing vehicles. And it was, I think, more transparent with a little more diligence. But I'll get that to you tomorrow, Michael, and then we can send it out to everybody.
I was just going to say, I think that legislator Hewitt just really brought up a good point when you mentioned the unions. I think we definitely need to speak to them too and get their feedback as to their ideas of going.
Chris, it does not appear that off-road vehicles or like farm tractor maintenance vehicles are not included in the fleet inventory.
Gotcha.
They are included in the fleet inventory. They're not. Off-road vehicles are not included in the green fleet reporting.
I haven't seen one tractor in
but that's the green fleet you're looking at.
It's not the green fleet report.
Thank you.
Yeah. Legislator Nolan and Stewart.
Yeah, and
you got me
deputy.
Okay. Go back. Thank you.
Amanda, you wanted to say something?
Yes, you're ready. Just kind of to start from the big picture, you know, as we're preparing to submit a vehicle request for the Capitol this year, the county executive is very anxious and eager to look into the right sizing, the downsizing, the right sizing of the vehicles, downsizing the fleet as appropriate, looking at those individual requests as they come in for vehicles. And that's something that she's looking forward to, having a very hands-on and active role in the direct, you know, supporting the fleet manager and supporting that oversight of that process for this year as part of operations.
Do we have a right sizing?
We're also, the right sizing is in the green fleet policy as one of the objectives.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Additionally, when she is ready, willing, and eager to also have discussions regarding appropriate use and deployment of take-home vehicles, weighing the benefits versus the cost to the county, and kind of looking at that in a larger picture, I would, to Legislator Stewart's point about union, just kind of flag the point that because these are considered pre-existing union benefits, renegotiating those are part of collective bargaining. And that is something that is the sole purview of the county executive. So that's a very particular part if it were to come to looking at those titles and whether or not there's a take-home vehicle that should be part of with that title. In addition, the Green Fleet Law, I believe, is fairly unique. I'm not sure of any kind of peers that you could really find. I look forward to seeing any research on the topic. But I think as far as the level of data that the legislature receives in the Green Fleet report, which is lined up in the local law, that's specified in the local law, this is much more hands-on data and granular data about the fleet than I think perhaps in some other counties is provided. So I just wanted to pass that along. But I would also, in your review of the Charlie Busick policy, there's a couple things that kind of, I think, deserve kind of consideration as you're looking at this. It is a pre-charter policy and procedure. Post-charter, what the tendency has been to do is to kind of separate the policy and perhaps the reporting requirements from the detailed procedure, so that the policy objective is enshrined by the legislature. However, there is an operational or a procedural part of it that is under the purview of the county executive. But then, like this report, there's reporting that has to come back on an annual basis, and perhaps to think about what that might look like in this case. In addition, in Charlie Busick, we're fortunate in that we have a lot better technology and systems in order to track things and look at things. There's some antiquated kind of procedures et cetera, that are part of that additional, that existing policy, which when I had made comments months back that I think it was to Legislator Litz that, no, we don't follow it. It's primarily due to the fact that that policy, that procedure, references platforms, data platforms that are like command line systems that the county no longer uses, paper recording systems, etc. The take-home vehicle use is tracked, and it's also reported through different ways than what was is stated in the Charlie Busick policy.
Which is why the policy needs to be updated.
Yes. Yeah.
But that is the only legislative policy that
speaks
out
to
there.
That issue.
So
please,
until it changes,
so
actually we should be
following the parts that aren't antiquated and are doable, and I'm not sure as a whole much of the policy was being followed, but that's why we're here. Anything you have no different than the legislature's, fire it off to Michael, and I will,
okay.
Any of whatever, and just as the comptroller's office does an audit,
mm-hmm.
and kicks it off to you guys,
mm-hmm.
to opine on
you.
Before it's
yep.
officially released, before you are going to be part of this whole process,
mm-hmm.
and we will, before we ever even put it out of this committee, I'd want to hear exactly what the executive thinks, especially about functionality of how
right.
it's going to hurt day-to-day operations.
Yeah. And from the data side, I can tell you that you know, this report has been submitted in some format since 2015 to the legislature. For many years, it's a report that I wrote, so I'm quite familiar with kind of the whole exercise of pulling this together. We're getting a lot more streamlined in using the back end of AssetWorks. So we're doing some really good things as far as making this easier to for all the different people involved with it to track and to use and to have good data and to, you know, have a good product and a good asset that continually helps them give some feedback on what's going on in the system. So,
Kathy?
Would it be possible, possibly beneficial, to have one of the legislative financial analysts look at current reimbursement rates, which are based primarily on running internal combustion engine vehicles, with our estimated cost for maintenance of what is increasingly, and in the future, even more increasingly, low maintenance vehicles?
It actually comes, if I
go ahead, Amanda.
It comes out of the back end of, so you have AssetWorks, which has all the vehicle information. Then that has to be kind of joined with all the fuel information. And there's a list here of the different ways in which the fuel information is collected. So it's kind of not completely straightforward as far as how that kind of all gets pulled together. The great thing is that Samsara, there was a lot of deployment of it during the year, during the calendar year in 2023, so we have vehicles that don't have full year of Samsara installation, but that technology tracks all the gas and the mileage, which in the past we've had to match procurement, you know, vehicle fleet cards with vehicles with odometer readings. Back when I was doing this, I was QAQCing 42,000 different fueling transactions in order to come up with mileage and odometers. And
how many?
42? Over 40,000
wow.
separate transactions, fueling transactions, just to QAQC the fuel used versus the odometer readings to come up with fleet efficiency. Now that all happens in Samsara, which is fantastic. Very happy to hear that. So it's improving. So
do you think we need any separate analysis, or will those softwares give us a picture of, could we actually be saving money by having fuel-efficient vehicles?
So that's definitely something in our kind of review of this report this year that the county executive was eager to see, is like a total cost of ownership for an electric vehicle versus an internal combustion engine. Speaking with the fleet manager, she's like, the EVs, they cost us whatever it costs to do the inspection and rotate the tires, that they have been very low cost to date. Yes, and that's taking asset works, so the inventory, any kind of electricity or fuel data, and then adding on the maintenance records and having that total cost of ownership.
I don't see us getting too into, with this committee, I'm just speaking for myself, but mandating gas or electric, or it's more about the process of the purchase of the vehicle, take-home vehicles, the size of the fleet. I think most people have been comfortable with the push for green vehicles. Laura?
And I think also with a take-home vehicle policy, you don't get reimbursed for driving to and from work anyway. So that's not part of the 60-cent federal, whatever, their reimbursement for mileage. Mm-hmm. It would be, I mean, it's a policy that legislators who drive certain distances over 15 miles mm-hmm. get reimbursed, but it's not under federal guidelines. You don't get reimbursed for driving to and from where you're supposed to report
yep.
to work. Now, if you had to leave there and drive somewhere else, then you would be reimbursed, but then they would be able to pick their vehicles up. So I don't know if we need to do...
And that's because we do not work at home. We have to
right.
come here to work.
Right. So I don't know if doing an in-depth... I mean, it would be interesting to get some of the numbers as far as cost, but, you know, if we were to come
that's,
up with a replacement policy, but I think that's beyond our scope
yeah.
right now.
I agree.
And that's also, like, a different analysis once you...
Yeah.
I think if you're going to the take-home.
yeah.
But I spoke with Tracy Bartels about the possibility that in situations where it's not clear, if we have any of those, of whether a take-home vehicle has benefits more than risk of abuse or any problems, that if the take-home fleet were all green, they were all green vehicles, then we would have a benefit to the county in terms of air quality and meeting our goals. So I would encourage this committee to look at a policy that might say that, you know, here's some clear instances where take-home vehicles make sense, here's some clear areas where they don't, and here's some that are a little more problematic. If you're going to have a take-home vehicle for that category, it has to be a green vehicle, it has to be an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle.
No, I mean, makes sense, but de facto, if you have a take-home vehicle, it's probably going to be a passenger vehicle. If it's not, if it's the tire guy, it's not going to be an electric vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be diesel or gas. But if the DA is taking a car home, it's with our green fleet policy, it's going to have to be an electric vehicle because that's all we're going to have. That analysis has already been done.
Sure, I'd just like to add that, you know, there's really, like you said, we don't have to add on to it. We have an aggressive plan already. You know, 20% of our fleet by 2025 is supposed to be green. And after 2025, 100% of our passenger and light-duty vehicles have to be zero emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to reinvent the wheel here, it's already
been
done.
Yeah, I don't anticipate getting into that aspect. And I think it's being done, like you said. I mean, we're kind of...
Well, 2 years, 100% of our vehicles are supposed to be all green.
They will all be purchased in that year to be green. That will not mean that the entire fleet is green at that time. So we're talking about those 3 years plus the time to cycle out the existing internal combustion.
I don't think we're going to cycle in just to meet some imaginary goal.
Well, in 2 years, sounds like there's already a policy in place with that. I didn't anticipate diving into that. Hey, if we finish everything up in 4 months, we got another 2 months. We can talk about anything we want, but I think it's going to be hard enough to codify a policy that's real, that's enforceable, that isn't, you know, screwing with day-to-day operations and timing. that's going to be that's going to take a little bit of while. We're going to have to collect a lot of data, talk to a lot of people, and then from there we can get into some of those other things, specifically the take-home vehicles and which positions give them.
I just had a couple of quick comments. One of those, I'm all for the change to, you know, green vehicles. I think one thing we do have to consider, though, is if people are going to be taking home electric vehicles, they have to have electric vehicle chargers in
yep.
their homes.
I was just
so
thinking that.
That's something that we would need to consider. In addition, I was going to comment that when we were at NYSAC, I was kind of amazed by the number of official county vehicles that were at NYSAC. I mean, there were tons. And a lot of them...
They don't want to pay mileage.
Yeah, and as Amanda indicated, a lot of those were really big vehicles. They were, you know, like Ford Explorers.
SUV.
Yeah, SUVs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we need to have... to really look into... you know, policies as far as, like, what uses these can go and how far they can go. One of the things that struck me in the Putnam County regulations that I looked at was that they have a policy that, A, you can't have people other than someone who is, you know, in the vehicle for a specific reason has to do their job. You can't have a passenger other than that in your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So you're not allowed to take your kids to school in the vehicle, or you're not allowed to, you know, drop off your mother at, you know, the doctor's office. In addition, they also had a policy that stated how far, you in order to go outside the county, you had to get pre-approval from the fleet manager. And I realized that Putnam County is a small county, whereas we are quite a large county. But Putnam also prohibited going. You could only go to the four neighboring counties, and only then with approval from the fleet manager. So, like I said, I was a little surprised at NYSAC when I saw these vehicles literally from all over the state. So,
yeah, and they're probably, a lot of those are probably from the pool vehicle. So we have that outside of DSS. There might be 11 vehicles there for anyone that needs to drive during the day. And a lot of times when you go to NYSAC, you're going to see people grab, like if a legislator technically wanted to drive to NYSAC, they could get a vehicle from the pool and it would be provided to them. It sounds silly to me, but people don't want to drive their own cars, but there are a lot of those are probably not take-home vehicles. That's another question about the marking of vehicles. The town of Saugerties has to have a marking on the side of the vehicle, which I don't think is added, but that's another thing that we can talk about as part of our policy, and whether we should have a limit on how far a take-home vehicle should go. I know there's a couple of county employees that take their vehicle quite a ways. Several, I think there's three or four people just in DPW that live out of county, and when you start taking into consideration what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, which may not involve that much driving around, and then they're taking it home to another county. That'll all go into our recommendations. Herbie?
Well, I was going to say the Putnam County policy seems to be fashioned off the New York State Department of Transportation policy. And I drove a state vehicle for 30-some-odd years. If you go outside the region, you have to get permission to go outside the region unless your specific
business
title task is to go outside the county, then you have to get permission.
Right.
But to take the vehicle home or having non-state employees in the vehicle is prohibited.
Yeah.
So it's very similar. It's probably they use the DOT, the New York State DOT, or maybe it's not only the DOT, maybe the state has an overriding policy for vehicles.
Right.
And there's also situational use. You know, if they're planning on a big snowstorm and somebody does live in Shandaken, you know, I don't see any problem with taking home a plow. Otherwise, they'll never get into work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to clarify that I was never suggesting that we look at redoing the green fleet policy, but I was asking this committee to look at whether or not there might be green vehicle considerations that would influence our overall fleet management policy. And I would just say that for charging at home, most EVs, their plug-in EVs, can now accommodate a 120-volt trickle charger, a slow charger that can plug into any kind of outlet, and you can send one of those home with the employee along with the vehicle. So you don't have to have a separate charging station anywhere anymore for these vehicles.
You need a garage. You know, not everyone's got a garage.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for everybody, but for most people.
And so whoever takes it home has to realize that it's 33.7 kilowatt hours per gallon of gas. Yep. So if you live 40 miles away, that's 66 kilowatt hours every day. It's going on your electric bill.
Yeah, we can get some of these employees subsidized in the county.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Just to
subsidize Central Hudson.
Just to piggyback off of what Legislator Stewart was mentioning in regards to, you know, taking the information from Putnam County and, you know, obviously the differences in geographic size between Ulster and Putnam. You know, I think what you had mentioned before, Chair Maloney, in regards to trying to get the as much information as possible from the surrounding counties, Dutchess, Sullivan, Green. You know, I think we really need as much of a comparison between similarly sized geographic counties. I think that's kind of going to be where we should be looking at the information and trying to compare where we're dealing with. You know, this is a large county the size of Rhode Island, and I think that if we can take the data from similar sized counties to ours that have you know, maybe more far flung rural areas, I think that would be a good comparison that we can work on looking at. If they have a green fleet report, that'd be fantastic. But obviously, I think their fleet management is something that, I mean, Putnam County's is a great starting point, but I think it's an apples to oranges comparison at this point. But it is helpful as a starting point.
I think Dutchess is probably a good one.
Yeah, I agree.
To look at, and we're going to look at that. Anybody, like I said, that has any other thoughts, you think about something tonight or tomorrow, fire it off to me and Mike as far as different. There's so many different things we can compare to and look at as you think of things, fire it off, and then I'm going to try to get a lot of different data together in a readable way well before the next meeting so we can kind of get down to business with this policy. And like I said, it's just a template. I think we might as well to start somewhere. I always like starting with something. We can end up somewhere very different. But everybody really take a look. If you come across anything else from another area, I don't care if it's another county or state, if it makes sense and you think it's enforceable and doable, fire it over and we'll fire it out and think about it. But everybody try to take a look at
the more data, the better, I think.
And take a look at the policy. And by next month, I kind of want to be redlining and talking about different ideas and hearing what the executive thinks as we go. We're getting to that hour point. I don't even know if we'd get to an hour on this one. Mm-hmm. I will send everybody out. Did anybody else have anything else? Mm-hmm. I'm Mike, you here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to come in. I'll try to get in here early and sit down with you for a little while if you have 30 or 40 minutes. And then we'll go over some different dates. I'll fire out some different date possibilities to everybody where there's not another meeting. And then I'm going to try to go through everything that I heard tonight and collect work a plan with Michael about coming up with all the different things we were hoping to look at and data we were going to pull and getting that out to everybody over the next couple of days so we have a good month, and then we can, this next meeting, we can really kind of get down to starting to craft this policy. Anybody wants to talk, call. Everybody should talk as much as they can, so by the time we get to the meeting, we're kind of know where we're going to go with some of this stuff. But if nobody's got anything else,
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All right.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Well, thank you, folks.